Welcome back to What's Ailing America, where you're going to get information that can save your life in regards to the patterns and practice used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, where doctors are creating disease, especially using vaccinations, which are biological weapons, and corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial systems are protecting the criminals and persecuting the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, who suppress the natural solutions to all these problems already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of quote-unquote child protection. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical first step for everyone with a conscience to do is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. And I encourage you to go to my websites, drcarly.com and reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com, especially with the latter. Click on the vaccine-induced disease tab, print out the diagrams that I have published there, and listen to the YouTube video of me describing them, especially the first diagram, which is the cause of all diseases. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. And, of course, now that we've had the Frankenstorm Sandy experiment, see how the sheep are going to respond in terms of following the mechanism of forced evacuation and things of that nature. If you are on prescription drugs, if you are going to the White Coats and all of a sudden that is cut off from you, you are going to have a problem. Because, in fact, all of the prescription drugs have been designed to actually cause an increase in your symptoms if you're cut off from them all of a sudden. So now is the time to learn how to get off these drugs, detox, and take care of your health. Here, there's the music. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back with What's Ailing America. And let me just finish with my intro. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. To learn how I do consults, click on the Services tab on my reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com site. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number's been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for my international clients and radio shows, so if you can contact me by the toll-free, please do so, because I get too many emails, and I may miss an email if you send me an email. I do not practice medicine or give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 800-313-9443. Very important. Callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. Please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. And, of course, please support the Republic Broadcasting Network if you appreciate the shows that are broadcast here. Now, on today's show, I was supposed to have a guest, Therese Augier, in regards to chemtrails. And for some strange reason, we have not been able to contact him. So we will continue to make the attempt to do so, because he is an engineer who has information on how to have your own chemtrails evaluated in regards to what exactly are they spraying on you, which is very important information. And for some strange reason, he's not able to get through. So, you know, this is my life. Every show that I do is interfered with in some way, and that's what tells me that I'm over the target. So we'll just carry on. Until we're able to reach him, I just wanted to mention a very important email that I was sent recently in regards to the health ranger, Mike Adams. And this is on naturalnews.com. And it is entitled, Everything is Rigged, Health, Politics, Finance, and More. But he has a solution to beat the system. And his solution is to not play. Now, I encourage you to check out this very important discussion of all the things that are going on in our world, because, of course, he doesn't talk about who's doing it, and it's the Jews. And as a matter of fact, it's very evident by this that he's basically now a puppet for Alex Jones, and he's telling you, just don't play. Well, good luck with that, folks. Don't play with the financiers. Don't play with the courts. Don't play with the doctors. Just basically say no. No, we have to get rid of the problem. And he has a new website as well called divinitynow.com, where he claims he will soon discuss why evil exists and why evil forces attempt to isolate conscious beings from knowledge and power, as well as the divine right of self-defense. I look forward to that, because then he's going to have to mention who the perpetrators are. Okay, I just got a message that we have our guest, and that's very good news. Therese, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
So, yes, I can hear you. Sorry, there was a change in the phone number for the show when we went from Studio B to Studio A that I was not aware of, but the bottom line is we've got you. And so let me just introduce you to the listeners. You are an environmental safety, occupational safety, and health consultant, now retired, and you've been consulted by industries including textile, dyeing, finishing, industrial coatings, electronics, and containers. You've been project manager, consulting firm, corporate division safety manager, corporate safety and fire protection in industry, engineer, project engineer in machine design, especially in municipal fire, including employment in industries, petroleum, transportation, rubber, plastics, alternative energy, sheet metal, chemicals, insurance. Your career spanning 36 years. Highly experienced manager with in-depth technical knowledge of hazmat, haz waste, proven ability to develop, implement, and administer cost-effective compliance, training, and marketing programs with regard to local, state, and federal regulations. And you have applied the above to the chemtrails issue and hazmat, haz waste issues in the county that you live in. Pretty amazing stuff. And if you could just tell the listeners what made you look up in the sky and say, uh-oh, what are those white things?
Well, I live in north central Pennsylvania. And back during the second quarter of 1997, we started to get chemtrails here in a tic-tac-toe pattern. I've always been an aircraft enthusiast and followed aircraft design over the years, and I was familiar with contrails and why they take place with either reciprocating engine aircraft or with aircraft with jet turbines. And the contrails that were there were not contrails. Okay, there were certain questions asked up on short wave back then, and I started to make some inquiries and found out very soon that basically what they were doing was dumping chemicals. And we at that point we didn't know what. And there were a lot of people who tried to debunk the inquiries or the results of them. And little by little, people started to get oriented with regard to how to collect the samples, the importance of protecting the sample, and also the importance of a proper chain of custody. And that took some time, because unless you're oriented toward it, the ordinary lay person, they figure, well, you just throw the stuff in a bottle, put the cap on, and forget about it and take it to the lab. But, well, it's not that simple. So it was a matter of educating people on how to help themselves. And that's what most of us that have gotten involved with it have done for and with others, okay? What we found, like the one example that I emailed you, which was dated October 29, 2002, the test parameters for that particular sampling were aluminum, barium, calcium, titanium, and also the test for pH, acidity or alkalinity. What we have found that over the years that there have been very high amounts of heavy metals involved with regard to the chemtrails applications. Aluminum poses a real serious problem to human beings with regard to upper respiratory distress. In fact, in this county, we probably had about almost a 300% increase with regard to people going into the ERs for help because of that. I hope that gives you some kind of an idea of how I got from back then to here.
Well, let me just stop you there, because the Republic Broadcasting listenership is probably some of the most aware individuals on the face of the planet. But just in case we have some newbies in the audience, you mentioned the term chemtrails and contrails. This is something very important that people need to realize, because, of course, whenever people talk about chemtrails, they're always or usually, you know, basically confronted with the contrail situation. A contrail, of course, being basically steam that's coming out of jets. And, of course, the difference is that steam dissipates and it goes away. And chemtrails get bigger and bigger and fill up the whole sky. And before you know it, you can't see blue no more. So I just wanted you to, you know, perhaps underline that and let people know that this is not a contrail situation. This is not a, you know, benign situation that's happening from airplane flying. Okay, I hear the music. We're going to break, so that'll be a very important part to start with when we get back. And, of course, yes, aluminum is bad, and they're shooting at vaccine as well, and it's kind of obvious that we're being genocided. Okay, folks, we'll be back. Stay tuned. And we're back with the Alien America, where our answer today is chemtrails. My special guest, Therese Agner. Am I saying your name right? A-I-G-N-E-R?
It's Agne.
Agne. And do you have a website?
No, I do not.
Okay. So if you could just address what I was saying before the break, this whole chemtrails versus contrails thing, and this is the main way they're keeping people in the dark. When I'm out and about occasionally, if I'm in the mood and even want to try to wake up the sheep, you know, I may say, what's all that stuff in the atmosphere? And either they'll refuse to look up, Or sometimes they'll say, oh, those are contrails. You know, because they don't want to think that there could be anything nefarious going on. So how did you allow your consciousness to say something's wrong with this picture?
Well, the thing is, basically the knowledge that I had that contrails are the result of water vapor being generated either by a reciprocating aircraft engine or by a jet turbine. When you start taking a look at how fast they dissipate, within a matter of 5 minutes, a contrail will be gone. The chemtrails, they stayed. Also, if you put your hand up over your eyes and shade them and look up at the sun when they are dumping chemtrails, you'll see almost a rainbow effect, and that's because of the alumina and other heavy metals that are in the discharge. Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, let me just say, I started noticing that in the 1990s in Long Island, and me being like, you know, somebody who wants to always, you know, think the best of whatever's happening, I thought of it almost like as an aurora borealis thing, a rainbow thing, even though there wasn't any, you know, rain happening at the time. So I think that's actually one thing that's making people think that it's okay because it looks pretty. It's a rainbow thing. And so they're basically ignoring the fact that there's something wrong with this picture.
Well, if you take a look at what I had emailed you, the results of, and we'll get into the details of it as we go on into the show.
Yes.
People begin to understand the degree of hazard and the consequences of the hazard to them and to all living things, really. The results would indicate that the contaminants that are being delivered in the large amounts, and we're talking in pounds per minute now, and in concentrated form, and it also indicates that a very controlled delivery or dispersion of the chemtrails by aircraft are carried out. It's very specific, and you have to realize that what they'll usually do, the area that you see the chemtrails over, in some cases, if there's not that much wind, they will receive some of the deposit. But anything that's east of there, because most of the winds in North America come from the west, anything east of there will get dumped on. That's the target, really.
Wait, I just want to bring up what you just said. I want to underline this and put it in a large font. Pounds per minute.
Yes,
pounds per minute. That is massive. And
yes,
this has been going on for a decade. How many pounds are we talking about here?
Well, it's difficult to tell there. It depends on what you're dumping. But you have to realize the concentration is so high that the exposure at ground level, if you took the industrial exposure limits, the permissible exposure limits for these chemicals, are as high outside as they would as if you were working in an industrial plant without any kind of protection.
Wow. And so what are our agencies doing to protect us?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing.
And have you made any attempts to, you know, investigate as to why they're doing absolutely nothing?
Because it's carried out under a national security envelope through the Department of Defense. This is supposed to help us with this so-called global warming, which we won't get into now, and is almost a farce as far as I can see.
Yes.
But it has nothing to do with global warming.
It has everything to do with the CIA Evergreen Company that's involved with these dispersions. As a matter of fact, there have actually been some people that have infiltrated and taken photographs of these planes, which show the massive canisters and, of course, the skull and crossbones, you know, on the various panels and such, in regards to what they're spraying. The idea that this is being done to protect us is so ludicrous because, in actuality, it's very clear to me, and I'm sure to you as well, that what they're doing is creating a like a holographic screen over the country, over the world, actually. It's being done everywhere, that is preventing heat to escape. So, in fact, it's actually promoting global warming as well as poisoning us with all of these different heavy metals and chemicals.
Well, to get into your one question there, you said what agencies are supposed to be doing something about it, and
okay, hold on. There's music. We're going to break. I don't want listeners to miss a word of what you're going to say, so stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is chemtrails. And right before the break, we were talking about the agencies that are supposed to protect us. So please carry on.
All right. Under normal circumstances, Doctor, the various directorates in government that are required to comply to all registration, notification, and permitting requirements as mandated by the codes of federal regulations basically have been pushed aside. To give you an idea, if we take a look at the CFRs, which are your codes of federal regulations, 40 CFR 1 to 86 covers all air programs with regard to permitting. 40 CFR 87 to 149, water programs. 40 CFR 150 to 189, all pesticide programs. 40 CFR 190 to 299 cover hazardous waste and solid and residual waste of all kinds. 40 CFR 300 to 399 covers sections 311, 312, and 313 of the Community Right to Know regulations.
Uh-huh.
This affects every municipality and town and borough you live in. 40 CFR 400 to 699 would be water effluent discharge and guideline standards. And then also, there is 40 CFR 700 to 790, which is the Toxic Substances Control Act. Now, what is happening here, too, is that your aircraft, if you take a look at the aircraft that are doing this, they actually have applicator booms that extend past their fuselage back by the tail assembly or sometimes under the wing, the trailing edges of the wings. Okay? What happens here also is that when you start getting into what these heavy metals do to human beings, they do interfere with the nutritional intake because they have higher atomic weights and/or numbers and therefore displace the nutrients. A person could be on a diet that would be perfect for their age and their lifestyle, and they still would be malnourished. Okay? And that's something people don't realize. Why do they feel that way? You know, why do they feel so bad? You could be looking at a situation where you're actually being denied. Now, also what you get into, the entire concept of chemtrails does enhance HAARP. That's High Altitude Aurora Research Project.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is ionizes the upper atmosphere, and that the particulate dispersion tends to contribute to increased ionization of the atmosphere, and thus presents an improved conductor for the EMF.
Yes.
Okay. Also, chemtrails do contribute to an increase in chemical-induced upper respiratory ailments, particularly with regard to aluminum. Aluminum particulate and forms a chaff scenario, which also interferes with aircraft detection by radar systems. And this has been confirmed by various air traffic controllers. A good example is it's happened a number of times in Boston, Massachusetts, and other places where your air traffic controllers couldn't even find out or realize where the aircraft were. Okay?
Wait a minute. You mean they were actually monitoring the airways and they couldn't tell where the aircraft were?
That's correct.
Like, why haven't we heard about that on mainstream media?
The chaff interferes with radar. The chaff interferes with radar.
Well, that sounds pretty dangerous.
Yep, it is.
Okay, I also want to mention, because you're talking about the interference with health just by the spraying of these toxic substances, it's not just our inhalation of the substances, but it's also the fact that they're being sprayed on all the crops as well.
I live
in North Carolina, and I have a number of container gardens, and I basically got like one tomato, one pepper, one lemon. It was unbelievable just this past year how bad the harvest was for me with all the work that I went to try to plant all these crops, and not to mention the fact that the mold is unbelievable. I mean, I can smell the mold if it rains and you walk outside, you know, you take a breath and you can just smell the mold. So I know there's mold being sprayed on us as well.
Also, they do interfere with germination and or pollination and plant life, particularly with regard to grains, okay? They also have the tendency to cause mutations which result in stillbirths.
What was that word?
I said they have a tendency to cause mutations which result in stillbirths.
Stillbirths, okay.
Okay.
In animals, okay.
No, human beings, too.
Okay.
Okay. Also, they do have the ability to undermine the immune system to a great degree.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to be concerned about, too, just in case some of the people in the audience don't understand, is that when they've been dispersing these chemtrails, there's a white, filmy, whispery substance that will gather on plants and on branches. It kind of looks like decorations people would put out for Halloween on trees, okay? And people inhale this, and it lodges itself inside the lung tissue and people. Now, what it does, it's turning you into an agar slant or a petri dish. And it's my professional opinion that basically you're being set up for something later on. You're going to wind up, they'll disperse something way beyond just that, and we'll wind up with a very powerful tool with regard to population pacification.
Exactly. I agree.
Okay. Now, you have to realize that when they're doing this, the chemtrails are actually, and their effects are actually, they're being used as chemical weapons. Okay? The aircraft, their pilots, are basically weapons platforms, is what you see, taking a look at here. The ramifications with regard to the pH. pH is very important. To give you an idea, if we take a look at the, I'm just pulling a different screen up here now. Oh, here it is, yes. With regard to the pH on this particular example that I emailed to you, they come up here with a pH of 4.4, which is quite low. Now, most of the time when you want a crop to grow, you want a pH of someplace between 6.5 and 7.5, maybe no more than 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that enables plants to germinate, to develop root systems, to develop leaves, and also to give you a yield. All right. However, when you get down around pH of 4, that inhibits all of that. You wouldn't be able to put enough lime in the soil to sweeten it up enough. Like, for instance, to plant for corn, you'd need up around 7.
Right, because it's very acidic. It's making
yes.
very acidic soil. Right.
Now, the other thing it does also, like if you're in rural areas, in most rural areas, you have on-site septic systems. You either have conventional septic systems or you have sand mounds. If you live in a big municipality, you have a sewage treatment plant. Now, in both cases, the perking soil for the on-site systems or the biomass for the publicly owned treatment works, the sewage treatment plants, cannot tolerate low pHs. The biomass dies. And therefore, the discharge, effluent discharge into the system, is not broken down. And therefore, in the on-site system, you have static, basically, collection of fecal matter. In the case of sewage treatment plants, they're forced to discharge to waterways and have untreated discharges, which then kills also all of the aquatic life. So it's very important when you're dealing with this whole idea of pH as well.
Wait, I just have to ask you. So they must know this.
Oh, of course
these
they do.
These sewage treatment plants must be monitoring their effluent and saying, yes, we're basically spreading poop throughout
the community.
They know what they're doing, right?
They tried to correct the pH with chemicals, and it becomes very costly. And that what happens there is the cost for the processing of the waste is then passed on to the consumer. That's why you see some of your sewage plant bills for municipalities are very high because of that. All right? Overall, in essence, what you're looking at here is, like I said, it's basically chemical warfare.
Yes.
And now the other interesting thing, too, is that a lot of the aircraft that are doing this are not from the United States. They're manned by crews. Most of the crews now come from the old Eastern European Comblock countries.
Mm.
And the aircraft come from there as well. They're not even using American-made aircraft.
So wait, who's allowing these aircraft into our airspace? And have you ever talked to any pilots who are doing this? Because that's one of the things that I always ask myself. How can they do this? Do they have a conscience? Obviously not. They must know what they're doing. How is this being allowed?
Yes, they do. There are pilots that have, let's just say, squeaked out information, but they won't keep their jobs very long when that happens or if they're discovered. Now, also, there are some of the people that come from the Eastern Comblock countries. They don't necessarily like the United States, so to them, it's, you know, so what? No big thing. All right? It's a matter of, you know, when you lose touch with your nationalism and your country, and someone else is doing something to you that's been dictated by a bureaucracy, and in this case, it's got a Department of Defense and National Security umbrella over the whole thing, and no one can say anything.
Okay, but wait
a minute. If you do try to do something, there have been legislators that have tried to insert addendums to legislation which would deal with the questions, you know, okay, why? Who is letting this happen? Who is responsible? Who gave the order? And all of a sudden it gets just moved aside. You get the wink, wink, nudge, nudge routine.
Right. Well, screw this wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing. Okay.
Well, they do it. That's the point.
Let me say, this is one of the most important things that I'm trying to get people to realize. Whenever these monsters mention national security, you can be sure that, in fact, their idea of national security is to hide what they're doing against our own people. And I just want to ask again, you may not know, but what agency is allowing this to happen? Who has put their stamp of approval on the genocide of, you know, millions and millions of people? And they're calling it national security. How does that work?
Well, when the Department of Defense or the NSA, also known as no such agency, when they take a project under wing at that point in time, there's only eyes on for the project to only certain people. The decisions that are made are made, there's no public input, that's for sure. In essence, they skirt the entire procedure with regard to what is to be done with regard to, you have to realize a lot of these things are hazardous materials. Some are what they call EHS, extremely hazardous substances. They're nothing to be fooled with. Under normal circumstances, their purchase, their transportation, their storage, and their disposal when they become hazardous waste is very well tracked. But because of the your DOD and other, let's just say, umbrella projects, that's pushed aside. So the regulatory agencies are basically told to take a hike. End of story.
And one of the questions I'm always asked is, how can these people do this knowing that their own families, themselves, their children, whatever, are being exposed to this as well? You see, one of the most important problem we have, in my opinion, is that people of conscience cannot even conceive of the level of evil that we're dealing with. So they will blow this off and they'll say, can't be, because they're spraying their own families.
Well,
so what would you respond to that? Because I guess they're getting cash. So
they're getting paid very well for it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's their arrogance. You have to realize, when you're looking at projects like this, they're run by people who feel that they are all omnipotent, they're elite. And us, you know, our small people, us little people don't count, and they're basically in essence, they've placed themselves in a position of being the new ruling aristocracy. Mm-hmm. Now, in their arrogance, they do this. Now, they also probably have something going for them that most ordinary people do not, in the fact that they know what the contaminants are, and they have the antidotes or the protective equipment or the bunkers. So then when it gets to the point where the rest of us are really at the end of the rope, they're not.
Right.
We're talking about a population pacification here on a very large scale.
Well, that's being kind. I would call it genocide.
Yeah, well.
But I'm just curious, have you ever found anybody that's involved in the spraying that was willing to talk maybe off the record to you and admit what they're doing?
In a word, no. Although I have questioned certain people over the years. Now, the same question you said here, how can you do something like this?
Right.
You know? And evidently it didn't mean anything to them.
Because they have no conscience.
And they're greedy. And they're
right.
Also, they've been made part... See, they have been... they have special skills, and because of that, and they have special knowledge, and as a result of that, they're part of this, let's just say, inner circle.
Right. And there's no question there are countermeasures. As a matter of fact, one of the main things that I deal with when I do consults for people is homeopathy, and you can make homeopathic remedies to detoxify the chemtrails. But obviously the solution is to stop it, you know, to begin with. Okay, there's the music. We're going to break. We'll be right back. And if we have any questions from the audience, please call in 800-313-9443 and ask our guest whatever you'd like. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is chemtrails. And we have lots more that we need to get to in terms of how to evaluate what you're being sprayed with on your own local level. But we're starting to get callers, so let's bring on John from Michigan. Are you there, John? No, I guess he dropped. Okay. So let's talk about what you're doing in terms of trying to help people, you know, figure out what they're being exposed to on their own individual levels, because it's very obvious to me that, you know, this is a worldwide experiment and different places are getting hit with different things. So I was amazed when I talked to you off air that you've actually found some ways that people can, you know, evaluate what they're being sprayed with, because that's very important. If you know what you're being sprayed with, then you can take countermeasures. So can you give us any enlightenment on what people can do on an individual level?
Well, first of all, you have to identify what parameters you have. For instance, in this one particular case, which I used as the example to email to you, the area where the samples were taken was a place called Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania, which is out in the extreme western part of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. There's a a panhandle of West Virginia that comes up between Ohio and Pennsylvania at that point, and it's out near there, and it had to do with stormwater, basically rainwater, okay? And when I talked to this individual, he said, well, what should I be looking for? I said, well, basically you're going to have to be concerned about heavy metals, and this four, there's the, I call them the ABCTs, the aluminum, barium, calcium, titanium, and also pH, for the reasons we discussed earlier.
Right.
Then I tell them usually to take, this one particular person does a lot of canning. I said, well, when you can tomatoes or whatever, you use ball jars and you sterilize them and all that, and you do the same thing for this sample. You take 1 quart sample. I suggested nothing less than one full quart, maybe two. Take the sample, label the outside of it. You'd have to locate a certified lab locally and tell it, you'd have to fill out a chain of custody, and that chain of custody is very important. It's part of the rules of evidence. Fill it out, get the blank form from the lab, fill out what you're looking for, the parameters, which in this case would be aluminum, barium, calcium, titanium, and pH. All right? And at that point, the chain of custody and the samples are turned over to the lab. And the lab retains one copy, and the person gets a copy to take with them. And when the analysis comes back, there's a third copy that goes along with the analysis, which is part of the self-monitoring report. When I do this for people pro bono, okay? The other thing with regard to once you find out what you have, the effect, the immediate effect it would have would be on how you, if you're growing your own crops, the use of a greenhouse.
Okay, hold on. We're going to another break, and then we'll be back, and we'll continue our conversation.
Very well.
This is so important, people. I hope you're taking notes. We'll be right back after the message.
It's true.